Hello and welcome to episode the 238th of the internet's one and only podcast. Usually I say about comics, but this week probably about other stuff. You're listening to the Comics Podcast. I'm your host, Jean-Luc. Emily is out on assignment doing very important reporting at the moment, so we had to let her go for this week. But joining me is the classic trio, the boys, as they say. And I hope you are both cracking open cold ones, because I am. Chad is here.
I'm drinking coffee.
Is it iced?
No.
God,
I don't drink iced coffee. What do I look like, some weirdo?
What are you doing? Cracking open a hot one with the boys? Ooh. You crack open a hot one with the boys.
Why would we need to crack open a hot one with the boys when the boys are already the hot ones?
Ooh, true.
Right? Like, it's like, you don't need it.
I feel like you're the only one that can say that, Alex.
Alex is out here gassing up the homies.
You need to cool off sometimes with refreshing water. Mm.
Are you drinking more of that, the canned water?
Yeah, I'm down to my last can of Liquid Death, and it's been a nice run. It's been a...
Liquid Death when you drink it?
I mean, it's been murdering my thirst all week, and it's been
We're not sponsored by Liquid Death, just for the record.
We're open to it. I'm looking around my room, and it's just like, I feel like I'm an alcoholic in terms of...
Do you just have the cans just sitting...
The cans are just around my room.
Do you not clean your room?
I do, and actually after this podcast, I'm doing a nice little organization thing, but I'm looking around, and I see like six cans of Liquid Death, and like four of them are on my desk, and... Actually, this week in a meeting with a client, I took a drink of the water, not realizing what it looks like.
Oh, no.
When you're drinking the water.
Did they say anything?
They didn't say anything. I just put it down. I was going to do an explanation, but I'm like, I don't want to explain to them that I bought this water and that it's not actually anything. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll get an email this week. Maybe not.
Yeah, I feel like if they think it's beer, that's a little more... socially acceptable than if it's really expensive water that's edgy.
Yeah, I know that probably...
The world is a broken place.
I know that probably from like a corporate perspective, it's better that you're drinking water. But if I saw you drinking Liquid Death on like in a meeting, in a Zoom call, I would hand you I would email you the pink slip immediately.
See, but I feel like I feel like it's worse if they didn't see it, or even if they did see it and they didn't say anything. And I was like, no, guys, it's not beer. It's Liquid Death Mountain Water. Murder your thirst.
Yeah, it's
see,
one
if you
of the
keep
other
saying
clients.
The slogan, it sounds like we're sponsored.
Well,
maybe they're one of Alex's clients that he's not telling us about. He's doing some rollout of some PR messaging.
I'm genuinely quite thrilled with this canned water, though.
Is it actually good or different?
It's got like a nice smooth taste to it, but most of the enjoyment is, hey, it's cold and in a can, and it's... It's I don't know, just like the sensation of opening up a can and drinking something, and you're like, oh, this is like it. In my mind, I'm like, this is a treat, and it's water. So afterwards, I'm like, oh, like I feel better because hey, I'm actually like hydrated, which is
yeah.
You
your
know,
brain
it's
has
nice...
sort of your brain well, has been trained to like get serotonin
from
opening
from
cans.
But it's like my brain's been tricked, and now my brain's like, wait a minute, I actually do feel better because I'm not like completely dehydrated. And it's a strange, strange new world on the Liquid Death podcast.
I guess.
Nice slurp.
Thank you.
As someone who's done drinking soda, but I still like the canned sparkling water stuff, for basically the exact same reason. It's just healthier for
you. What do you drink, like LaCroix or...?
No, apparently Jelly Belly has a
what?
They do them now.
Huh.
They're only kind of in the Midwest.
That's a really
And all the flavors except lemon lime are bad. So they have one good flavor. But that's the one I buy.
Jeez, they do. That's so odd.
It's just so strange that like it's like a healthy drink alternative and it's made by the company that makes jelly beans.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, there's probably a bunch of stuff that like they own or have like partnerships with that you would not even know about, you know? Like, there's probably some shit out there that's brought to you by Jelly Belly that you just would not ever expect to be a Jelly Belly product, such as sparkling water, apparently. But I can't drink sparkling water. It really just, to me, like, every time I try to, I've tried to have it, and granted, I've only really had, like, LaCroix and Pellegrino, a couple others. But it always just tastes like the, you know, like if you get, if you make really bad lemonade that's really watered down, and it sort of just, it sort of just tastes like watered down juice or soda or something, like the dregs of the soda machine or whatever.
Have you liked the Pellegrino, like the actual flavored, like not necessarily, I mean they are sparkling beverages, but they're actually like, you know, like
sodas,
like the pomegranate ones or the, yeah.
No, I haven't. I've only had like the ones that are sort of like LaCroix, I guess, like that are just like the sparkling waters with like very light flavors.
Yeah, because I mean the regular San Pellegrinos are good, but they're like, I don't know, 40 grams of sugar in like a little can, and it's like, oh, that's why they're good.
I don't even like those. Like those, I think are too bitter. Although we might be talking about different things.
I don't know. It's possible.
I know my dad likes them a lot, so whatever my dad has had is the ones that I've
40
tried.
40 grams of sugar. Those are too bitter.
Well, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced we're talking about the same thing.
For the record. But like they're so carbonated that there is a sort of bitterness to them, where it's like it's not a matter of adding more. I mean, I guess if you add more sugar, it still do, but it still has that like sort of hump you gotta get through. But we got my parents a SodaStream for Christmas, and it was one of those things where my sister was like, "Hey, I bought our parents a SodaStream. Do you want to go in on it?" And I was like, "Yes." Like, I don't know if they particularly like soda, but it's been kind of neat.
Yeah, SodaStreams are cool. I would never buy one from that brand, but they're like the product is cool. So there's that. Anyway, how have your guys' weeks been? Y'all do anything interesting? Watch anything interesting? Read anything interesting? Engage?
I started reading the Foundation series by Asimov.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I haven't read those in a long time, so my memory of them is kind of shot, but that first book is fantastic. The first Foundation novel. I fucking love that shit.
Yeah, I think I'm on the third one now. Okay. I have like the first four or five all in just one book.
Gotcha.
And I really like how different every one of them is. Like the one I'm on right now has like a lot of like very Game of Thrones style politics between worlds and wars and all this stuff and who has the upper hand and the better technology, and I didn't really expect that. I wasn't really sure what to expect out of this, and so like the first thing was like, oh, this is some really cool sci-fi concepts. I can see where Warhammer is just stealing without fail. And then as it's gone on, it's like each thing's just a little bit different, and it's throwing kind of new tones and new concepts at me, and I really enjoyed the progression so far of it. It's been very fun to read.
Nice. Yeah, I remember, like, I love that kind of style of science fiction stuff where, like, the writer will create a universe and then just set a bunch of different stories in it, especially when the universe is compelling. And I remember really digging Foundation back when I read it years ago. I don't know if you've read any of Ian Banks' culture novels that ever... But nope. the conceit is kind of similar. Like conceptually, the universes are different, but it's the same thing where it's like a bunch of different stories told in the same universe. But I would highly recommend those as well. They're like really fantastic sci-fi novels. So would
might have to look at more sci-fi after this. I don't read a lot of it, so it's nice to have good versions of it.
I mean, honestly, a lot of what I read, like a lot of the novels that I read, are sci-fi. Which is partially because I read a lot of Star Wars novels.
Star Wars doesn't count.
But I mean, even outside of Star Wars, like, a lot of what I read...
Because it doesn't count.
Why? Like, oh, like, as in it's...
It's like science fantasy.
Yeah, that's
also
fair. No,
garbage.
Oh, well, that's true in some cases. I can't, like, outright deny that because you're not totally wrong. But... A lot of the novels even outside of Star Wars that I read end up being like science fiction stuff. Although I just finished the new Star Wars novel, and since my grandpa and I, like I said, last week or maybe 2 weeks ago now, we watched the Lord of the Rings movies, and it made me want to go back and reread the books. I don't know how far I'll make it, but I'm about to start Fellowship of the Ring probably tonight. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Like, I read those books in middle school and, like, haven't really revisited them aside from, like, reading passages here or there and reading, you know, The Silmarillion and Children of Fjorin and The Hobbit and stuff later on. So I'm excited to go back to, like, to those three novels and read them again revisit them really for the first time outside of the movies.
That's neat. Did you watch the regular ones or the extended
No,
ones
the
that
extended
pop?
cuts. The extended cuts, which he hadn't seen before, but we were watching them like basically we were watching it basically like a TV series where we would watch like an hour and a half every day. So
That
like we'd
makes
watch
sense.
them each in two or three sittings because they it's not really with my like my between my work schedule and generally
Yeah.
how like wanting to sit through stuff like that, like we just broke it up. Although I have
You know
watched
what?
them like all the way through in pseudo one
Yeah.
sitting before,
We're
which
doing we're doing weekly ones right now to today's Return of the King to end it all off, but extended
nice.
ones, and I think we're starting at like 9 tonight because I've slept till
Jesus.
like that time, so it's gonna be
That's
I think that one's
rough.
like 3.5 hours, so it's gonna be a
No, that one is I think that one's over four.
Oh yeah.
But I'm not 100
I mean,
percent sure.
either way, it's been great. I think I saw the extended like years ago, or maybe I had never seen them, but it's
Yeah,
just really
it's
really great.
it's 263 minutes.
Holy shit. Well,
Yeah, it's so over 4 hours.
I watched the theatrical cut of that movie earlier this year, and I was like, this is too long. So we'll
Really?
see how this
See,
goes.
the thing is that my experience with it and my experience with those is the opposite, that we aren't watching them in one sitting, so that probably helps, but I am so hooked. Like I think that like those are movies that use every bit of their even the extended cuts where they add some more like fluff, not necessarily like plot super plot relevant stuff in,
Yeah.
or stuff that like the theatrical cuts work without it. They added it, and I am just like fully engaged the whole time with those movies.
I've really liked Fellowship and Two Towers so far with the extended scenes, and I agree that they add value. But it was just, I think, Return of the King, it's like around the midway mark or the start of the third act or something, and then it's like I like that movie, but it's probably my least favorite one of the trilogy because of just like. It just felt so long. And it could have been just that evening I was like tired or
Yeah.
whatever.
Well, the
And
thing about Return of the King is that it doesn't even have the last part of the book in it. Like it totally cuts out the raising of the Shire that happens at the end of Return of the King.
is it
Or
in the extended or is it just
no,
completely?
it's they didn't even film it. So
Damn.
it's not an either cut of the movie. So, but I digress. I love those movies and those I haven't seen the movies in a while either. And like they, have been favorites of mine in the past, but revisiting them has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I wish more movies that were long had this kind of reminded me of when I first watched The Hateful Eight, which is like a 3.5 hour movie too,
Yeah.
but it's broken into sections. And I remember when I watched it with our family, I was just like, "Do you want to just stop here?" Because we had watched like the first two acts, and there was two more to go, and it was
Yeah.
like right in the middle. And I was
Damn.
like, "We can pick up tomorrow, and we don't have to watch this, bullshit long movie." And that works really well. And
It
every time I've
does.
watched that movie, I've done it in that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of long movies like that sort of work like that where they have, I mean, Hateful Eight specifically because like it does break itself up into acts, but even like the Lord of the Rings movies, like there are natural points to pause and then, come back to it at a better time. But yeah, I mean, that's a totally, valid and normal way to watch movies, I think. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they're intended to be wa they're made to be watched in one sitting a lot of the time, but for movies that are worth watching that are like longer than 2.5 hours, like I don't know. Like I think you probably will and people probably on average enjoy them more breaking them up and watching them
Yeah. I mean,
in multiple parts.
I wouldn't recommend watching Tenet in parts because, like, why?
'Cause
Just because it's long.
I wouldn't recommend watching Tenet.
That's true.
Like that's the thing is
I
like
also wouldn't put yourself through it in two sittings, right? Like, just like get it over with. If you
Yeah.
want to watch the movie,
Well,
don't
but
wait.
I think I may not have said it, but I mostly mean that like movies that make good like I think that the most I should say I think that like most movies that are longer than 2.5 hours aren't good movies, but the ones that like justify their runtime
Yeah, for sure.
are
And I
is what
mean,
I'm talking about
most
specifically.
movies really shouldn't be more than 80 minutes. Like, there's just so like
Yeah.
these like hour and 40 minutes, like 2 hour and 20 minute movies for movies that are like garbage and are just like bloatware. It's a whole different thing. But good movies, I like watch. Yes.
Me too. I like watching good
I agree
movies.
with all of that. Mostly because like my attention span is like this weird mix of really good if I chunk things out. Like I can get big things done and work on it, but I have like some people in my writers group are like, "Oh, I wrote 3,000 words today," and it's like, "Fuck off!
Yeah.
Why would you do that? That's horrible." split that up into over 3 days and then just work on it consistently. And like, so these really long ass movies, it's always just like, yeah, I want to rewatch this, but fuck.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting, like, when the new Avatar movies come out. For one thing, if anybody gives a shit this many years later.
Yeah.
But two, just like, how big are they going to be? And am I going to go see them? Because I like the first one well enough. Like, it's fun spectacle. But also, I never want to watch it again because it's 3 hours long.
Yeah. And it's like, because of the delays and because of the fact that it's the highest grossing film of all time, I feel like they just have to double down on, like, the length and whatever. Like, it's going to be very interesting to see what that movie ends up being. And, and I guess the next one, and the next one, and the next one. But again, like, I don't know if I want to actually see it. Probably not. I mean, I watched Avatar in theaters, and I was like, oh, this looks pretty. It was a neat experience, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of revisionist history that's been going on about the quality of that movie lately that I,
It was pretty, Jean-Luc. It was pretty.
Yeah, it is a pretty movie. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's good. I haven't seen it since it came out, and I remember really liking it
when it came out.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, I'll own up to that, right? Like, yeah. it was a fun movie, and everyone's like, "This is stupid. It's Fern Gully in space." That's like, yeah, but space is really pretty.
I remember
also cat people.
I remember being really bored, but I was like 12 when that movie came out, so I remember going to the taken to the theater to see it, and like being kind of excited for it because I'd seen the trailers, and even at that time, like I knew like the reputation around it, or the pedigree around it rather. And then I went to the theater and was just bored for most of it. I thought the end when the one thing I really remember is the end when they have the mech fight.
Yeah, and the general, and he ends up dying, and I was like, yay.
The mech with the knife, because that makes sense.
Oh, that's. That's fun. I just remember the hype for that movie. I think I saw it, like, I don't know, 3 weeks or 4 weeks after release, and, like, as, you know, with my parents and I think some friends, and I was just, like, there was just so much hype for that movie, and it was, like, I don't know if I was excited for it, but I knew that everyone was excited for it, or I thought that everyone was excited for it, because it's, like, the biggest movie ever. I'm like, oh, cool, the biggest movie ever. And then I was like, huh, that's cool.
Yeah, it definitely sort of had the same effect for me. And now, you know, having seen, you know, James Cameron's good movies, I like recognized, like, that was like the first James Cameron movie I saw. And then after that was what it was like that summer when my dad showed me Terminator.
Nice.
And then we watched the new Terminator, the Terminator Salvation. Well, the new Terminator at the time, which was Terminator Salvation. I was like, that's the guy.
That movie sucked.
That's the guy from Avatar who plays.
There was a couple years where he was in everything.
He was also in the
James Cameron.
But Attack of the Titans?
Yeah, Clash of the Titans. Yes.
I remember seeing that in theaters as well with my friend and being like, that was kind of fun.
I also
seeing it again on it, just being like, this is a movie.
Yeah, I saw both of those movies in theaters with my friends. I didn't even realize that it was like a remake. Of a classic film. Sam Worthington is his name, and he just has been in like nothing relevant ever since then.
Well,
like,
and I think it's the only thing I see here. Sorry, John, is the Shaq, and I think it's probably because after Avatar, he's been working on Avatar these last 10 years, but it keeps getting delayed. And he's like, I can't take on a project. I'm doing Avatar.
I'm doing film.
I'm an auteur. And it's like, yep. Avatar 2 is coming in 2022.
Well, it's not that he hasn't been in movies, though. Like, he's been in movies since then, obviously, like a trickle. Like, if you look at, like, 2009 through 2011, he has, like, two or three movies every year.
Yeah.
Four in 2010, it looks like. But then, like, he sort of dropped off. So he's doing stuff, but, like, yeah, I could definitely be that, because
it feels like he's holding, like the ones he on are, like, sort of, like, low budget or seem like they'd be, like, a quick thing to do. While he's waiting for that Avatar cash or whatever, it's.
I didn't. I totally also forgot. I for some reason had it in my brain that the Avatar sequels just didn't have the same characters, that they were like not connected to the original Avatar movie in that way. But I must be. I guess I'm wrong, because now that I'm looking at the IMDb page, seeing that he is in fact in those movies is Jake Sully.
What a great
day, our good pal day. Jake.
Yeah, and I feel like none of the characters. I mean, again, I've seen the movie once, and I saw it in theaters, and I was mostly the thing I remember is the visuals, and I just don't like. Were any of the characters good in the first movie? That it's like, hey, I can't wait to see him in Avatar 2. I guess that was right before Zoe Saldana became a big actress.
Yeah, that was the year. It was Avatar and Star Trek came out in the same year. The Star Trek reboot came out in the same year. And she sort of rocketed into being a green alien in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're making a new one of those ones. Oh, a fun fact. Sam Worthington started in Wrath of the Titans in 2012. And then in 2018, he started in The Titan. So, it's pretty cool.
I assume those aren't actually connected.
No, he looks kind of like the guy from that Will Smith movie that was bad on Netflix.
After Earth?
No.
Bright?
Blight?
The Blight, yeah.
Yeah,
Bright
or whatever it was. Yeah.
In it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
But interesting. I haven't seen Bright, so...
No, it's a Max Landis joint, so I just...
Yeah, I have no... It's what, Max Landis and David Ayer?
the dream
team, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing they've ever made has gone wrong.
Nope.
Although David Ayer has made some good movies. And
yeah,
also,
like
I don't think that the travesty that Suicide Squad ended up being, I don't think is totally on David Ayer. But yes...
Have you been tweeting about the Ayer cut, or is that not yet?
Is it a story? Oh, no. Okay. We tried rolling that one out a couple years ago, and it just didn't catch on.
Damn. Well,
David Ayer was supposed to direct Rogue One, right?
Was he? Because
I think so.
I know he did that tank movie with Shia LaBeouf
Fury,
around that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I forget Shia LaBeouf is a person that's in things, and then I'm reminded, and it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, and he was recently outed as a sexual abuser.
Oh.
So we won't be seeing him for a while.
That's great, because my Shia LaBeouf memory is, hey, he was in Holes, which I like that movie.
He was in Holes, yeah.
which was great. And then he got a tattoo. Ooh. All right,
yikes.
We're going to end it there. I'm not going to finish my sentence.
you can cut that one.
Yeah.
And then he, got a tattoo for a movie that he did in 2019, and it was, a terrible movie. Like, he got, a full stomach tattoo for this role, and apparently it was just really bad. And it was like, oh, that sounds like a Shia LaBeouf
move.
That's
unfortunate, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Gareth Edwards was the director of Rogue One also. But why did I think that David Ayer was involved in that? I don't know.
Right, because Gareth Edwards was the director, but they also did a bunch of reshoots for him, right?
Yeah, someone else reshot a lot of that movie, but I don't remember who.
But the question is, who was responsible for the greatest scene in Star Wars? I don't know.
Well, probably
George Lucas. Good answer, Chad.
yeah, Chad.
I wasn't sure if that was a trick question or not. Well. Shit, they're setting me up to make fun of me.
No,
but I answered it. I got it right.
We were talking about the hallway scene.
The one,
yeah, I kind of figured.
Darth Vader,
about dumbass hallway
he's got the lightsaber.
But yes, no, you are correct. George Lucas is responsible for all the best scenes in Star Wars.
Yes, both live action and animated. Yes.
Yeah.
Bought a big book this week.
Oh yeah, have you actually gotten into that yet?
I'm only two issues in, but it's the Doom Patrol by Grant Morrison, Richard Case, John Nyberg, Mark McKenna, Scott Hanna, and a bunch of other artists. But
didn't we read that on this show or try to?
No.
No. If you read Doom Patrol, it would have been the Gerard Way reboot from the DC had the Young Animal
this
line.
Is
I didn't
from,
like it.
This is from the late 80s, I think.
Yeah, late 80s, maybe a little bit in the early 90s.
Yeah, it starts in 89, and it's like a 50 issue run on Doom Patrol. This was like Grant Morrison's.
Jeez.
Between this and Animal Man, I think was at the Animal Man was first.
Animal Man
and,
was first, yeah.
Yeah,
but
and then
those two were like his big breakout.
Yeah. So far, it's nice and weird, and I'm very excited. It's in one of those hardcover DC omnibuy, so it's like I read it at night time.
So it's huge.
And, ruin my wrists, but it's worth it for the good old stuff.
I told Alex when he got it that, like, now that he's bought the hardcover, he should just not feel bad about, like, reading it on the cursed torrent site, because it is probably a much more joyful experience to read it that way than to cradle a 15-pound omnibus while you're trying to go to bed.
It really feels like I'm getting a physical reaction to reading this book. And sure, that reaction is pain, but it's still like it goes with the thing. And the first villain are the Scissor Men.
Yeah,
and these guys who like with like no faces, dressed in red and black, that carry scissors as hands, and it's like kind of creepy in a wonderful way. So yeah, it's excited to read through all that.
Yeah, that's something I haven't read in a while, but is definitely one of my, like, it is up there for me in terms of, like, some of my favorite, not only, like, Grant Morrison stuff, but superhero comics. And that's only, like, tangentially, like, obviously it's a superhero comic, but it's not...
Yeah,
it's also not a superhero comic.
Like, the opening by whoever did the foreword is talking about how, like, oh, like, I loved superheroes as a kid, and pretend to be, like, Superman, and then I'd be like, oh, now I'm James Bond. And then he's like, but I never dressed up as the Doom Patrol because they were just sad people. And it was like, not really superheroes. But now that I grow up, I'm like, huh, maybe I've been dressing up as the Doom Patrol this whole time.
They are like, well, just sad people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great, but, though. We love our sad boy superheroes.
Yeah, and it's like, it's nice to have writers who like started good and are still good. And Grant Morrison is just a wonder.
Yeah.
He joins that Neil Gaiman camp, I would say.
Oh, Granty. Sure. I mean, they're from the same sort of...
They're in the same
era campus. Of, like, comic... Like, British comic book writer. I mean, I think Morrison is Irish, but, you know, UK... it's all the same... I mean, it's all, like, it's all England, you know? Or it's all Britain, rather, I should say. Mm. So, like... The two of them and, like, Alan Moore and a few others. What was that IDW, the Black Crown IDW? Kid Lobotomy? Yeah. What's the name of the guy who wrote
Peter
that?
Milligan.
Peter Milligan, yeah, is the
same.
Yeah,
Peter Milligan's, like, a worse...
From that same era.
He's, like, in the same camp, but he's, like, not...
Oh, come on. You be nice to Peter Milligan.
Good. No,
Peter
like, he's Milligan great. He's just no Grant Morrison or Neil Gaiman. He's Peter Milligan.
Okay, that's fair.
We love him for that.
Are you guys interested, I'm not going to say excited, but interested at all in the upcoming Netflix adaptation of Sandman? That the casting came out for a couple days ago?
Mostly no. Always afraid they're going to fuck it up. I guess they did a good job with Good Omens. I never watched it. People seem to really like American Gods, which I also never watched.
I watched a couple episodes of American Gods, and it was okay.
I don't know. I've just been like, I'm at a point where it's like, I don't know how you film this comic book without shitloads of money, and even then, like,
I think Preludes and Nocturnes is very doable on a low budget. I mean, it mostly takes place in that one
diner area,
yeah.
Honestly, like, seeing that, like, as a horror thing would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't have, like, I don't think I have a Netflix account. I'd have to steal Emily's or something. So I probably won't watch it for that reason.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, I'm more excited about the audiobook that they released, I think, last year. Which had a cool voice cast in there. You can check that out.
That was an original story, too, right?
Oh, was it? Yeah,
that's not a rhetorical question. That's
an
actual question.
I'm pretty sure it was, like, the first 20 issues or something.
Oh,
like
weird.
Adapted into sort of audio.
I feel like that would not, you could not do that.
Yeah.
Comic justice.
I'm not
with
quite
just
sure.
Audio.
I think it's like an Audible exclusive. It's weird. So it's kind of whatever. I'm not going to pay for Audible, but check that out.
Well, I'm sure you could find a podcast that has a free download code for an Audible audiobook.
This would be a perfect time to put our Audible sponsorship, but we're already sponsored by Liquid Death Mountain Water, so fuck off, Audible.
No, we're not.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's weird to see so much Sandman in, like, the whole, like, Sandman, what, DC has their own Sandman imprint now, written by, like, all these people.
Kind of, yeah.
And it's, like, you know, as great as it is, like, I've heard good things about Good Omens, too. I've heard okay things about American Gods.
I'm surprised, you guys. I've heard nothing but bad things about the Amazon Prime Good Omens show, but I haven't
really?
Seen it, so. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously, we don't have the same friend groups, but.
I would say that my friend groups who did watch it, I don't know if they ever read the book.
That's fair. I would say mine's is kind of 50-50. People who watch it and read the book and also didn't read the book, but I don't know that I can name it's a small sample size, obviously, but I don't know that I can name anybody who came away particularly enthusiastic or liked it. American Gods is the opposite. Everyone I know who's watched American Gods is, including myself, has said good things about that show. But I didn't stick with it more than 2 or 3 episodes.
Yeah. I will say the person who is most high on Good Omens that I know is also someone. When I was having a comic talk with them, they talked about their favorite current series by Scott Snyder and Charles Soule. So,
oh, fuck. That's not a good sign.
But what's that one called again? I don't know.
Undiscovered Country. The trade came out this week.
Yes, yes, yes. So, I don't know. People have different things going on, but... Yeah,
people are allowed to like bad things.
No,
it's true. And
is my
do.
Very petty, awful way of saying that.
Yeah, yeah. Like
I generally dislike that sentiment. I don't care if people like bad things. I just wish they would actually engage with them. But whatever.
Yeah, most people don't seem like they really want to engage with their media. They just want to watch it and feel good and then go about their day. Which,
yeah,
I don't have a problem with that. I mean. It's why I feel like I do that to an extent, right? Like, we talk about these comic books, but there's some it's like, I don't know, like, how long was I reading Rat Queens, right? And it was just because it was there.
Yeah.
And it was sometimes fun, and I was okay with that when it was fun. And I don't know, you gotta go to work, and you get home and you're tired, and you don't really want to engage with literally everything on a crazy intellectual basis all the time. And so you don't, and so you read Rat Queens.
Or you play bad video games like Overwatch and Apex Legends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that.
I will say Jean-Luc's enjoyment of Overwatch has gone up percentage-wise.
No, it hasn't.
6 months. So.
My enjoyment of Overwatch has gone down, but my enjoyment of spending time with my friends has gone up, I think is probably a better way of... Considering that I am now willing to play Overwatch with you guys... That should tell you more about me wanting to spend time with my friends who play Overwatch than my actual feelings about playing Overwatch. And also, I can play Moira and just totally, like, bot out and listen to the conversation and play Death Grips in the background or whatever.
True,
so.
True. But going from, like, yeah, I'm not going to play Overwatch to, like, oh, yeah, let's play some Overwatch. I think there's...
Well, yeah, because...
a percentile gain
but
there.
But that's been that way this week specifically because I've been taking a break from Apex.
Yes, but it's also a good way to get a lot of people in.
Yeah, that
good old,
too.
Good old six-player, multiplayer, and such. But
yeah.
Yeah, I like this week I was just on Twitter and feeling frustrated because, you know, Twitter, right? And like,
yeah, I was feeling frustrated when I got like a bajillion notifications, dude. Because people,
yeah,
don't, know, people don't know how to fucking untag right,
so,
people.
So I made a post about my 6 favorite video games, and I haven't made a chain thing in like 25 years, as I said in the tweet. And then I tagged some comics friends known as Chad, Emily, and Jean-Luc, and I also tagged my friend Chantel. And she didn't exactly take off the replying thing, and no one who replied to her tweets took off the replying thing either. So everyone got lots of notifications. And she messaged me saying sorry for the notifications, and I was just laughing because I was talking to Jean-Luc, and he was complaining about all the notifications. So it was a good time.
Yeah, I logged in to Twitter the other day, and I had, like, I think 12 notifications, which is the most I've ever had, and I was like, uh-oh, did someone hear me say something I shouldn't have? And then it was just like, oh, no, everyone just keeps liking the same list of shitty video games.
Chad, what was on your list of shitty video games?
What was on my list of shitty video
Conker's
games?
Bad Fur Day.
Yeah,
Conker's Bad Fur Day was number one.
Aliens
Predator 2,
Predator.
Earth Defense Force 2025, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Orcs Must Die 2, and World of Warcraft.
Wow, imagine putting Super Smash Bros. Ultimate on your list instead of Super Smash Bros. Melee, the best Super Smash Bros. ever
made. I'm going with more characters over better gameplay is debatable, but I like the big roster.
The Super Smash Bros. Melee came out more than 10 years
Someone
ago.
Put
so
Brawl on their list, and that legitimately upset me.
You know, Brawl
is the worst Smash.
You know,
Brothers
Brawl
game.
Was the first Super Smash Bros. Game I played, and like if you had asked me to make that list like 10 years ago, it would have been number one.
I loved
so.
Brawl, like playing it on the Wii, and they had the Subspace Emissary.
Yeah, I loved Subspace Emissary.
They also put tripping in, and they made everything really floaty.
See, the thing
weird.
The
yeah,
thing is that I don't know
items.
I don't know what trippy means or anything. Or...
It means your characters randomly fall over for no reason.
Oh,
that's kind of
they literally trip.
Oh, well, I guess that was a thing. I don't really remember that.
The director was like, this is not a fighting game. This is a party
game.
Well, he's right.
So, he is.
No, he's not. It's both.
No, he's right. Well, it is a party fighting game.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
People can take
it. Brawl's fine.
Yeah, I love
it. I liked
that
it.
Game.
I put a lot of hours into it.
Yeah,
I probably put more hours into that than anything on the Wii except like Rock Band, so.
Yeah. Oh man, Rock Band. So, oh, I should. I have to redo this list and tag four new people. But don't worry, I'm gonna not untag you. So you see the menu list as well. gotta throw Guitar Hero on there. Good old.
Yeah, band. I left off Rock Band too, which I think was a mistake. But. Yeah.
I probably should have put Bloodborne on there instead of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was the last time you played WoW?
It's been years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, me too.
I have a lot of very good memories with that game, and I also put, like, literal months of my life into it.
Yeah. And I like that whenever you talk about our opinions are cheaper, or I guess anywhere, it's like, yeah, I had a great time, but no way in hell am I going back. It's just like, whether it's just like the time sink or because it's changed so much, it's like, I've had my memories, I got it out of it, we're good.
Yeah, every once in a while, my friend who I used to play with, because they're playing some, hacked version where you can kind of just make a character and set your levels or whatever, and I guess it's big enough where they're logging in all the time and enjoying the game, and I'm just like, no, even when you take the grind away, I just do not want to go back, because I'm done. I don't need to play games like that anymore. Yeah. But I like that I did for the time I did.
'Tis fair. Meanwhile, Jean-Luc only likes new games, because old games are shit.
True.
Yep.
it do be that way.
But Chad, we've made it this far, and we haven't talked about your old jamming of the games, huh?
Yeah, we're doing a global game jam this week. I got some people over in the house. The goal, everyone, I guess the goal is to make something that works in VR.
Oh shit!
And so we're doing. A very, very stripped down, bare bones. It's almost going to be like Tag, but in a haunted house. So, like, there's the player, and then there's the chaser who's going to look fairly demonic. And we're hoping we can get everything done, but we're sort of like, you know what? If we have two people moving around and they can collide with each other, that's great too, because my brother's programming it all in Unreal, which he doesn't have a huge amount of experience with. And I'm just kind of like, I don't care what we do. It's an excuse to hang out with some people I haven't seen in literally a year. I'll make a song, which I've already mostly finished. And if we get to a point where we need sound effects, I'll throw a handful together and be lazy with it. But it's kind of fun just getting together. It's been so damn long and hanging out and, you know, just checking on, hey, what are you working on? Oh, that looks really cool. Like, oh yeah, we're actually talented at what we do here. It's really just the time constraint that's the problem. So far, so good. My cat's been nice. He hasn't been too much of a bother. He's actually sleeping in the room with me right now.
Yay, Ripley.
Aww.
And so is it the same group that you've been doing for the last few years that came over to this time?
Yep.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. Because wait, was it like 2 or 3 years ago where the school no longer was the home for that?
Correct. Yeah, we were doing it at the school. The school lost that program. Somewhat internal politics, I believe. And then we skipped a year, and basically me and my brother did one by ourselves. And then last year I was like, what if we just have everybody to our house and do an unofficial one? And then we did that again this year, and it kind of turned into a cluster because it looked like we weren't going to be able to do it because some people couldn't leave. And then like literally like 2 days ago, that's like, oh, actually we're having it at your house. Like after this weird roundabout of like, who's going to host it? And I wasn't going to drive anywhere. So it's like, well, if someone else does it, then I will work remotely, you know, kind of thing. But this works out. I mostly have the space for everybody.
Nice. And I guess you could send them to your parents' house if need be.
I end up sleeping over there. So I'll let someone else take my room. Someone's got the couch, and then someone has an air mattress in the kitchen. And that kind of works. And then I get to hang with my cat for a bit that my parents own, who I always forget is a complete asshole. He woke me up at 4:50 because he was hungry, and I had to throw pillows at him.
Damn.
But yeah, it's been fun. Been drinking a lot of coffee. We had shitloads of pizza yesterday, and haven't really done much for lunch yet. We're kind of just munching on donuts and soda. So it hasn't been a very healthy weekend, but it's
Sounds
cool. Like, I can put on the headset. Like, my brother's got like a room done right with some lighting, and you can like pick up blocks and throw the blocks around, and they have physics and a lot of that Unreal kind of has stock ready. But some of the stuff he's definitely had to make. Tim's modeling the evil kind of demon-like character that's gonna, be the chase person, and then Laramie's building the level, and I believe Matt's doing the texture work for everything. So if things work out, we'll actually get it all done and together. And I'm hoping it doesn't start snowing tomorrow or Monday, because I guess it's gonna start threatening to. And some of these people have a very long drive.
Yay.
But yeah, that's been my weekend so far.
Nice. Sounds pretty enjoyable.
Pretty enjoyable.
Cool. Do we want to talk about the very small number of comics that we read this week and then call it a show?
I just want to say quickly that I've been doing a lot of mini golfing throughout the week in VR, and
Nice.
it's been very enjoyable.
Nice.
Yeah. It's like there's like gimmick holes, there's like regular holes, it's like five courses, and when you're done, you can like look at the course from like a bird's eye view, and it's really pretty. And it's just like when work is stressful, I'm like, oh, I can take 5 minutes to shoot nine holes of golf, and it's like ah.
So are you in like Rec Room for this or something
No,
else?
I bought a game. It's called I don't remember what it's called, but it was like a $15 game, and you can play with like people online if you have friends, which I do not, who own the game, so.
I mean, that sounds like possibly something to invest in.
Yeah, I'll send you the trailer for it or whatever. But it's pretty neat, and like, yeah, just like hanging out, playing some mini golf. You can like find mini golf balls around the place, exploring little areas, and it's just a nicely optimized chill experience. And man, yeah, like this VR headset has been really lovely because I haven't been leaving the house. It's like nice to be able to like feel like you're going places, and
Yeah.
playing VR chat every week has been strange and unpredictable, but lots of fun. I want to go to court on Sunday if we're doing that again.
Oh man, that courtroom shit. It was funny because I don't really like courtroom. I usually just like will sit there and listen and watch. And so you basically single-handedly devolve the private session into what almost every session devolves into of just like random nonsense horseshit and no one's cooperating. And I know Joe and Cameron actually like the role play aspect of doing the courtroom thing.
Oops.
I think it's dumb, and so when you were like being a goofy fuck, I was like legitimately laughing really, really hard. Like that was super funny to just observe.
I'll be more serious this week. We'll get a No, it's fun. And I got that cool Republic Commando skin. Shoots real blaster bolts. So, yeah. But yeah, Jean-Luc, I think comic. Yes?
Comic?
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 Comic.
Department of Truth number 5 is the only thing I read this week. There were some other things I meant to read, but I just didn't get around to them because I went to Costco. My sister came up, and I went to Costco this morning instead. So,
Nice.
but I read Department of Truth number 5. I think all three of us did. I also read, funnily enough, read Department of Truth number 4 at the same time.
Same.
Department of Truth number 4, I thought was fantastic. I loved like the whole like press angle that it had, for what is very clearly like, if not the literal Washington Post, then a stand-in for the Washington Post.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos' own paper.
Yeah, exactly. And I loved the like all of the timeline that they were building and all of that. Like I love that issue. The new issue I think was okay. I'm not as hot on it, to be honest. I don't know where you guys are at on it. It feels very like it feels like an exposition dump to me in a lot of ways.
Oh, it definitely is.
And it's not like it's not bad. I think the last issue was as well, but I think it was handled a little bit better in the last issue than it is here, because this felt like at times it works, but at times it feels a little bit slow and sort of gets away from, I think, the books, like Tinian's, like actually like really really strong knack for like really compelling like political commentary.
Yeah, I there's a certain level of like actually you're working for the villains. It's like eye roll, but then the political commentary that they bring up as far as using this to mold the, you know, the world, so the United States is a superpower, is like, okay, actually that I buy. So that works for me.
Well, it's funny for me because it's almost like, because in this world it's like, yeah, these things are like, they get enough people to believe them, so they become reality. And also all of that is a lot of it is like real and true. Like obviously like the stuff about like the birtherism stuff is obviously bullshit, but there's a lot of stuff in there that is, you know, there are reasonable reasons to believe that those things are true. Like all the Epstein stuff, like some of the stuff around 9/11. But yeah, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I mean, we've talked not quite to death, but whenever there's books that try to like, be like, this is politics today. Let's do it. Ha 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 ha. Let's put Trump in our comic, but we'll call him Drump or something. Oh, oh, oh. And it's a, this is a, it's, this book handles things very, very well, and the mystery and the horror, and I also liked Four More, and I read them back to back as well. But still, this is a book that I'm, you know, it was what, our number two or three book last year as a group, as a collective.
I think, and so
it was up
and
there.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see how it goes. I kind of liked how the first three issues were, where it was sort of like you're getting these different sort of conspiracy theories, and I guess you got that in Four as well. But I sort of like seeing the examples as opposed to being told about the examples. Like when you actually see, like, hey, this is the end of the world,
yeah,
or a whole school shooting one.
Yeah, I guess I think the things that we see in issues two and three specifically are much more self-contained, kind of, whereas this is like a much larger conspiracy, you know?
Yeah.
So it's harder to like show all of this. So like those are like, that was like a good way to sort of establish some stuff. And then, you know, now we're into the bigger story, I guess, or the bigger narrative.
Yeah, and I'm still a little out as to whether I love the bigger narrative, because I've liked the little stuff, but
sure,
I've liked every issue so far of this book, and it's great. And man, Martin Simmons' art is just, oh, he scratches that Ray Fox itch, he really does. But I would like,
yeah,
Ray Fox to continue doing stuff. So
yeah, no, the art of this book is phenomenal. And I think that's part of what ends up carrying the issue five for me, is that even if I'm, you know, not, even if the writing at times doesn't quite work, there's a lot of like really good horror panels. Like when the red face guy shows up in this issue, and he's just like sort of around for the rest of the issue. Like in all the panels for that sequence where the main character is getting this exposition dump, and that thing that he is just terrified of is just sort of like floating around, I think is really like the art there, the visuals there are really, really strong.
So, like all the close-ups of like mouths and eyes and things like that, like the way, you know, like this is a long conversation, but it is extremely visually interesting.
Agreed. Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. I definitely think that that's a big deal. Like, if you're able, like, especially in a comic, like, you can make these scenes more dynamic and interesting if, like you said, if they are visual, if they are engaging in a visual way, even if the writing is, like, you know. And it's the kind of thing where, like, yeah, like, this, you have to do an issue like this eventually, you know, because you have to, you know, tell people what's going on somehow. Mm-hmm. And often it does end up looking like this, which is like it's really not a bad thing, especially because like probably next issue, like you, if you're good, you only have to do this once or twice, you know? And I feel like Tinian, at least on this project, has demonstrated that he is good enough to, you know, not have to do this a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, this remains an extremely strong series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nothing else came out this week. Except,
well, didn't you read
DC Comics Future State?
Yeah. So, did you which DC Comics Future State books did you read? Was it just the Imperius Lex, Superman and Imperius Lex?
I read that one, and I started a couple others, but I did not finish those others. because All I right. enjoyed them too much. I didn't want to spoil myself.
Okay.
But I started reading Future State Aquaman number one. Yeah. And it was, you know, it was some cool stuff.
Is this Kelly Sue DeConnick or is it? I assume no. But okay.
This is the writer on this one is Brandon Thomas.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. I recognize that name. He's written.
Is he the excellence writer?
Yes. No. Yes, he is.
Oh, man.
He...
What happens to writers that when they write a DC comic, they just can't?
Huh. And he also wrote... Do you guys remember Horizon? Which was that... It was a sci-fi book that came out like a while ago. No, it's not the one with the sun. It's like it's the one with like the blue aliens who come to Earth, and it's like
yeah,
this special
it was like really action heavy.
Yeah, it's like the special forces team who's coming to. I think that they're coming to like rescue someone or something like that. I don't remember the exact plot, but Brandon Thomas wrote that as well, and I remember that being something that we like all kind of enjoyed when it came out. So Brandon Thomas is a guy with like who kind of has a pedigree on this show.
He does. It's
kind of funny that. You're saying that this is bad. Not yeah, funny. It's not funny actually. It's kind of sad.
And it's not even okay, like the idea is like okay, Aqualad, it's 5 years later, he's underground, he's being saved by Mera and Aquaman's daughter. But man, for a guy who can write dialogue really well in excellence, it just like it's so bad in Aquaman. I don't know. Did they give these people like a week to write this? Or like a couple days? I don't know. Anyway.
DC editorial must like have no idea what they're doing maybe. Or something. I don't know, man.
I mean, maybe he'll be doing an ongoing and it'll be better, but man.
That's the other thing is that like probably a lot of what's so bad about these is because they only have two issues to tell their story.
Yeah. So. And the one that I was excited about, I also read part of Suicide Squad and it was...
I looked at that one. I saw that came out this week. I'm like, oh, this must be Tom Taylor said that there was more of that Suicide Squad of his Suicide Squad coming. This must be it.
Yeah,
different creative team. And
Johnson isn't the writer.
Yeah, it just meant that I didn't read it today. I might read it in the future, but I was really bummed to see that wasn't.
It's like you get hit by the text boxes right away, and then it's like the text boxes are explaining that the Justice League is bad, but the Suicide Squad is good. And this Batman is actually a Talon. No, it says the Talon's name. And it was like, yep, that's right. It's a Talon. And it's like, I also read the New 52. Of course. Like, but the character hasn't been in the comics since then. So this is it was like a reference where they're like, yes, you remember this name.
Didn't Talon show up for 2 seconds in Batman number 50? Like he's at the fake wedding.
Maybe.
Isn't he there?
He might have been in the background.
With like Gotham Girl and
So I recant my statement then. It makes total sense. And then one of the like, this Flash is unlike any other. She's from Australia. And I'm like, is this a joke? But then they're like, it's so edgy that it's not a joke. So, you know, more Future State stuff. And the one I was excited about was Superman versus Imperious Lex by our somewhat pal Mark Russell, writer of the Wonder Twins and other books. But it's not good.
So unfortunate.
It kind of feels like Billionaire Island, where it's basically like a thing where, like, hey, Lex Luthor started his own planet, and he's paying for the like. It's a planet that's like, everyone's prosperous, everyone's happy, but it's paid for by sort of like the war machine that Luthor is going on. And he's like killing people on other planets, stealing their resources. But it's handled in a way that it's Superman giving an exposition dump about it for the whole issue. So it's like it's a concept that I'm like, oh, this is neat. But
so it has potential? Question mark.
If there's like an ongoing series, but. Again, these Future State two shots are meh.
Yeah.
Meh, meh. Yeah. And then at the end, like, because the whole thing is Lex Luthor is asking for aid now because Superman sort of blew up his planet. And then Lois Lane is like, okay, we're going to give you aid. And then, like, but it's you, Lois Lane, who's going to have to go give aid to him.
Is she still a journalist or is she like.
She's like a journalist, but she's like part of the space UN.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So that's that's Future State for this week.
Okay. Thanks for being the our intrepid DC Future State reporter.
Yeah.
And putting yourself through that so that we can tell the listeners about them.
Yeah.
Next week I'll read some of. Well, I feel like we're out of the number ones, and there's maybe one that I actually wanted to continue to the number two. So. We'll see.
Forgot what the only one I really liked was, so I don't know.
It was that Batman one for me. The Swamp Thing one I also would want to read. The Batman and Swamp Thing. I don't remember which Batman one it was, but the one with the good art.
Oh, for me it was Catwoman. So there we go. Good stuff.
Did I? I didn't. Yeah, I did. I liked that one too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at that.
See, that's the thing with some of these super books though, is like even if I like them at the time, I just like forget about them. You know, it's like you're like Catwoman. You read that, and I'm like, no, I my immediate response was to be like, no, I didn't. And then it's like, oh, I did. It was good. I forgot about it though. Oops.
Oops.
So. But yeah, cool. Well, thank you for that, Alex, for that Anytime. Brief DC Future State segment. And looks like we're actually clocking in not that short of our usual runtime, but probably a little lower. So thank you everybody for listening. If anyone has any final thoughts, we can share those now. But barring that, I think we might be done here.
Yeah,
I should go get food pee or something.
You can do Sounds both. Good.
I gotta get ready. Well, I have time before I'm gonna stream today, but I should prep that a little bit.
Ooh, tell the people what you're streaming today.
Oh, I am going to be building the Ultimate Collector Series Y-Wing.
Oh shit!
So that's probably gonna be a today and tomorrow stream because it is
that Lego set is featured in my book because I asked you. Hey, Jean-Luc, what's a cool Star Wars Lego set that takes a lot of time and is expensive? And you're like, that one. I was like, boom.
Awesome.
Cool. Research.
Nice. Yeah, so that one will probably, like, it's not, like, the biggest set that, well, it's the second biggest set I own, I guess. But it will probably take two sessions, so it'll be today and tomorrow. Damn. I'll be working on that on stream. So you
Good
can check that out.
It's not this week.
It's next weekend, and I will stream next Sunday. I will just stream before the Super Bowl because I will watch the Super. I can't believe that now I will watch the Super Bowl and I know things about it. But anyway,
I hope Tom Brady wins.
Yeah, you would say my grandpa unironically hopes Tom Brady wins. So
I guess I do ironically want him to win.
Well, from my understanding, the whole Tom Brady bit is that it's like everybody hates Tom Brady. And so
yeah.
You like posting about how you
My
like
neighbor
Tom
was
Brady.
Just like, you're not allowed in my house anymore. And then I was like, that's really hard for me because I'm a vampire and I need to be invited in.
Oh my God. I will be rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs because I have, I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but I've, come to enjoy watching them play. So, but yeah, anyway, you can check my streams out at twitch.tv/ Jean-Luc1997. I changed the username to make it a little easier to find. And so that when I was posting about it on Instagram, I didn't have to write twitch.tv/xxsadboyxx for other normie people I know to find out about it. But anyway, that's where you can watch me, and you can follow me on Twitter at @MountainDewLiker. And you can find Chad and Alex and Emily on Twitter at @AnonymBand, @MPandanata, and @AlexHanziak. You can figure out which one of those corresponds to which person. You can follow the Roller Coaster Tycoon socials, and you can, if you follow them for the next 3 months, you'll see posts from Alex for the next 3 months that he's got queued up. It's a little inside baseball for you on the world of PR. And what else? You can go to cgmagonline.com sometimes to read Alex's writing there when that happens. And you can listen to Emily's other podcasts. Even though she's not here, I'm going to plug them. They are Imagine Me and Yurikuma, Fresh Podcast Market, and Big Steppy, which she produces, that last one. And then Chad, you can find his work at anonym.wordpress.com and anonym.bandcamp.com to listen to his music, read his short stories. And you can buy either Dreamscape or The Ninth Life, or both. Which are the two books that Chad has published on Amazon.com. And you can read them. I would highly recommend... I recommend them both, but I haven't read The Ninth Life. So I would recommend Dreamscape because I've read all of the short stories in there. And I think a lot of them are very good. And the ones that are not very good are pretty good. So
People seem to like The Ninth Life that have read it.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I've been meaning to read it. I should read it. It's been sitting on my desk waiting to be read for a while. When my parents were home, my mom saw the cover and read the back of it and said that she would like to read it. But then,
I told her.
Yeah. Well, my parents don't really have a lot of time to read for pleasure since they're doing that. Like, they have a lot of doctoral reading.
Sure.
But anyway, Maybe my mom will read that someday, and I'll tell you what she thinks, Chad.
That'd be cool.
But anyway, that I believe is it for the plug zone. So until next time, I bid you adieu.
Bye, everybody.
Liquid death.